Well, it's a little too late. Well, it's a little too late. When you walked in, I should have walked out. But it's a little too late to do the right thing now. I may be wrong, but I don't want out.
ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. President Biden heads to Austin, Texas today to outline reforms that he would like to see for the U.S. Supreme Court. They include allowing a president to appoint a justice every 2 years and limiting justices to 18-year terms. The White House says it has serious concerns about the results of Venezuela's presidential election, which granted Nicolas Maduro a third term.
We're going to hold judgment until that time. We in the international community are watching. And we will respond accordingly.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby. The FBI says former President Trump has agreed to sit for a victim's interview as part of its investigation into the assassination attempt against him. Smoke from the exploding park fire in North Central California and others that are burning across the western U.S. and Canada can be felt as far away as New England. The Dow is down 27 points. This is ABC News. Officials in Northwest England say a 17-year-old is in custody after reports of multiple stabbings in the town of Southport, north of Liverpool. ABC's chief foreign correspondent, Ian Pannell, in London.
13 ambulances responding to the incident and have so far, quote, treated 8 patients with stab injuries who were subsequently transported to a number of local hospitals, but most worryingly, including Alderhay Children's Hospital in Liverpool. The conditions and ages of the patients are unknown, just to add that this is the first day of school summer holidays, and the fact that some victims were taken to a children's hospital is, of course, a major cause of concern.
Police saying there is no wider threat to the public and that there so far are no suggestions of terrorism. Team USA gymnastics star Simone Biles will compete in all 4 events. Tuesday's women's Olympics finals. Biles injured a left calf while she was warming up during qualifying rounds on Sunday, but went on to post the top score in floor exercise. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
A Gain Scent Bead story. Jim was at the laundromat when he heard, his ear said, "Maracas, senor," but his nose said, "Hey, freshest scent ever." Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring a bottle of Gain Scent Beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness. Jim blurted, "Sir, your scent maracas smell amazing." Actually, Jim, most noses call them Gain Scent Beads. Try Gain Scent Beads. Way fresher than detergent alone.
She posted about us just now.
Celebrities can't get enough of Bianna's bespoke skincare line.
She has 147 million followers. How do we monetize?
She needs a social media associate to help her with the hype.
We should repost this. Do we need a hashtag?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. State committee is studying potential regulation for artificial intelligence in Wisconsin. The committee's chair, State Senator Julian Bradley, says the goal is to establish guardrails for lawmakers to consider when drafting policy.
Because we're looking for, are there places where it's necessary for government intervention at this time? This is such a new and emerging technology. We're just scratching the surface. And in 6 months, the information we're going to have now is already going to be slightly out of date because we're going to have new data.
The Legislative Council Study Committee on AI held its first hearing at the Capitol last week. A new study committee will examine ways to control Wisconsin's sandhill crane population.
The big birds with the long bills and even longer legs can be a real problem when they swoop down on farm fields by the dozens or hundreds. A 12-member study committee is scheduled to meet this Thursday at Horicon Marsh State Wildlife Area. Committee members include state lawmakers, farmers, and conservationists. They've been asked to come up with recommendations, including a possible hunting season. That's something opposed by the Baraboo-based International Crane Foundation. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Statue of groundbreaking civil rights leader Vel Phillips was unveiled at the Capitol in Madison Saturday. Her son, attorney Michael Phillips.
My mother was about bringing people together. She liked people. She cheered for people. She listened to them. So I'm quite proud of the piece that we have here.
The statue honors the first black woman elected to the Common Council in Milwaukee, where she led the fight for fair housing. Phillips was also the first black person elected to statewide office and was the state's first black judge. Val Phillips died in Milwaukee in 2018 at the age of 95. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Summer's coming in hot, so it's time to cook up some fun at Mall of America because it's always a cool 72 and sunny here. Plus, all the summer best in one place. Join SpongeBob SquarePants 25th Anniversary Celebration. Get slimed at Nickelodeon Universe. Hit new heights on the Fly with Opera ride and Boots Banana Swing. It's shopping Nirvana, Crayola Experience Creativity, Hangout Heaven. Go all in on summer, all at Mall of America. MallofAmerica.com/summer.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Partly cloudy by later this afternoon. High today in the mid-80s with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 67. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warm and humid with a high of 88. More scattered thunderstorms are possible tomorrow night. Do you need help with back taxes? Call 800-281-8193. Tax Solutions Now, they can help. 800-281-8193. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 82.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Growing season, we'll get the outlook through the middle of August. And we have all been witness to history over the past couple of weeks. We'll get some impressions from a passionate American historian. And it's Monday morning. That means we've got Machinery Pete queued up and ready to go.
Live from a typical manic Monday via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. As Chip hinted there, we have U.S. Senator Charles Grassley from Iowa. And as he said, we also have Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Right after the news with Tyne Morgan, we'll get a weather update from Brett Waltz of BAM WX. I'm producer Big Apple Joe Stackler and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Big Apple Joe, thank you so much. Welcome to AgriTalk and happy Monday morning, everyone. We had some showers over northeast Iowa again last night. Only picked up about a quarter of an inch, but boy, it was loud and booming, and it sounds like we've got a chance for some more showers coming here over the next couple of days. We'll get the lowdown on that from Brett Waltz, BAM WX. Then, as Big Apple Joe said, we've got U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley on the way, and Machinery Pete is going to be at the bottom of the hour today. Right now, we've got Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Hey, Tyne, how's it going?
Hey, it's going so well. You know, but weather report from outside of Kansas City, We could use a drink, which is so weird to say, considering we had a wet spell there for a while. But man, Chip, things have turned. It's pretty dry. We need a drink. But I did hear on the news last night, we are heating up this week, but we've only had one day above 95 degrees so far this year. So feel fortunate for that. Talking about all this heat, we have not been that hot, but it seems like that's going to change this week.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly will. When you guys dry, the thing is, when you guys dry out, it happens in a heartbeat down there.
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah. It's great. You know, those great soils that we have here in Missouri.
I get it. All right. Hey, let's get started. What do you got in the news?
Well, we have a lot of news to cover today. Okay. Yep. Just last week, we told you about Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer's decision to veto a $3 million grant program that would incentivize the sale of E15 fuel in the state. We reported on that on AgriTalk. The Democratic governor vetoed the 5 cents a gallon rebate to fuel retailers last week. Well, Chip, now we have more disappointing news for renewable fuels groups, because on Friday, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit Court issuing an order to vacate most of the EPA's 2022 denials of petitions for small refinery exemptions from the renewable fuel standard obligations. The decision also remands those petitions to EPA for further proceedings. After the ruling was released, the Renewable Fuels Association, Growth Energy, and the American Coalition for Ethanol weighing in, saying, quote, "We are extremely disappointed in today's decision to vacate and remand EPA's denials of dozens of small refinery exemption petitions. EPA's decision in 2022 to deny the petitions was well-reasoned, based on sound economic analysis and consistent with both the Clean Air Act and the objectives of the renewable fuel standard," end quote. The groups say they are evaluating their next steps. But Chip, that news did impact the grain markets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no question about it. With the pressure that we're seeing on the soy complex, and that's got a lot to do with weather, but the corn market is also trading down here and has been under pressure. So next steps are the next steps, and this is a court case waiting to happen again, Tyne, is what it is. We'll talk with Senator Grassley about it.
Well, that's not the only fight that some of these corn groups are fighting, okay? Because the National Corn Growers Association is urging the Biden administration to set fair and reasonable criteria around farming practices that qualify for sustainable aviation fuel tax credits. It's something we've covered extensively, but the tax credits for sustainable aviation, which are under the Inflation Reduction Act, sets the standard for what farmers and refineries must do to qualify. Corn growers, along with other commodity groups, Chip, have raised concerns about bundling specific practices that may not work in certain regions of the country. To produce qualifying fuels under the standards, biofuel producers must show they lowered their carbon intensity score. And according to the guidance, one way to do that is to use feedstocks grown using climate smart agricultural practices. But it's the bundling of these practices and saying you have to do these three things to qualify that's really not setting well with a lot of these commodity groups, because a blanket approach, as we know, does not work for ag.
It doesn't work for everybody. That is the bottom line. So let's get a workable solution done, and let's get the announcement from the Treasury Department. And having to wait on the Treasury Department on this is concerning. There's no doubt.
Well, how much can you expect to pay next year for groceries? I know most of you are just trying to get through this year, but yeah, we're already looking at next year. USDA is out with its latest price forecast, and it's projecting the smallest rise in grocery prices for next year since 2018. But remember, we're already at high levels. Initial forecasts show a 2% increase in all food prices, with a 0.7% rise in grocery prices. For this year, it's maintaining a prediction of 2.2% increase in all food prices. And in the West, they are battling and continue to battle the fires that are burning out west. Multiple communities in Idaho were evacuated after lightning strikes sparked fast-moving wildfires. In California, the state's largest wildfire was 0% contained at the end of last week after destroying 134 structures and threatening 4,200 more. A sheriff says they believe the fire was started by a man who pushed a burning car into a gully. Officials have arrested a 42-year-old man who is expected to be arraigned, late last week. But Chip, those fires, I saw some posts over the weekend. Farmers in Idaho are battling some of those. And so as we look California to Idaho, they're definitely, they have a fight on their hands right now with wildfires.
Yeah, it's unbelievable some of the issues that they are dealing with out there. Tyne, thank you so much for filling in for Davis. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Let's bring in Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. Good morning, Brett.
Hey, good morning, Chip.
Okay. What do you see this week here in the middle of the country with the rains?
Yeah, it's going to be very active. We already had a storm cluster moving through Iowa and Illinois this morning. I counted this morning 3 or 5 additional waves possible as we go throughout the next 5 days or so. So it's just going to be extremely busy. I'd say anywhere from eastern Iowa through Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, probably a good part of southern Minnesota as well. Potential to pick up 1 to 2 inches of rain plus over the next 5 days. And I'm concerned about maybe flash flooding potential across the lower Ohio Valley as we work into this evening. Some spots could pick up locally 2 to 3 plus inches.
Right. What about temperatures? I mean, everybody's talking about the warm-up coming this week. Is it there?
For sure. Temperatures up into the upper 90s to the 100s across parts of the central and the southern plains this week. We'll get up into the 90s in the Midwest as well for a couple of days, but certainly the worst of it will be kind of the southern and the western portions of the region. Some excessive heat warnings in effect for parts of Kansas and Missouri as well.
Okay. Any threats of some crop stress developing out there anywhere, Brett?
Yeah. You know, the next 10 days overall with the heat and missing out on more of the rains, Kansas, maybe even western Nebraska, Oklahoma, kind of in those regions in there, I am concerned maybe some abnormally dry or drought conditions expanding or worsening a little bit the next 10 days or so.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is one of those times where you got to sit back and say, well, it is August.
And
so we've got to expect these kinds of conditions. Sounds seasonable, maybe just a little warmer than normal.
Yep, a little warmer than normal, but nothing too crazy, especially further northeast.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Always appreciate your time, Brett. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Chip.
You bet. Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. Check them out. See what else they have to offer there at BAMWX.com. Coming up next, we are going to have a conversation with U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa here on AgriTalk.
Another great harvest thanks to Pioneer brand corn.
Just a few questions.
Who are you?
Kim Kernel, Ag Sports News. I've been chasing your combine for a while. How does it feel getting 10 more bushels per acre over last season?
It feels great. Couldn't have done it without Pioneer. It's America's number one corn brand.
And there you have it, folks. Live from the field.
Who are you talking to?
Pioneer. Your best year starts here. Learn more at pioneer.com/best yet.
We all know the expression, make hay while the sun shines. Well, by the look of things, the sun is starting to shine on interest rates again, which means it's a great time to team up with a lender that knows the business of farming, FBN Finance. With flexible terms and rates and pre-qualification for farmland loans up to $3 million for qualified applicants, you can trust FBN Finance to shed light on your ideas to expand your farming operation. And right now, get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Whatever crop you grow, we can help you protect it. Bootstrapped and ready to serve, Atticus delivers battle-tested chemistries, AIs that you've come to trust and rely on from a manufacturer that strives to operate in a way that makes us accessible, responsive, and reliable. Our relevant portfolio is ready to protect your battlefields and livelihood. No matter the pest, weather, or politics, Atticus and your American farmer tenacity is battle-ready. Meet your ally, AticusLLC.com.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Lorre. Thank you for joining us on this Monday morning. And joining us right now is U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa. Senator, it's great to talk with you again. How are you?
Very good.
Good.
We're in session this week, and then we have a summer break during August. So I'll be back again with you if you want to talk in August, but for sure in September.
Fantastic. Fantastic. How's the corn and soybean crops looking?
Oh, so good. You can't believe it. Last year, for the whole summer, I added up only 10 inches of rain, May to October. And this year, so far, I've had about 25.
Jeez, it's really looking good. I saw some of the pictures that you had out there. Looks like everything pollinated well, and it's off and running. So it's awesome. Good for you. Okay. Senator, since you and I have last talked, it's been an historic time. I want to start with the assassination attempt on former President Trump. Your reaction, what does it tell us about the campaign?
Well, I don't know whether a person that wants to kill a Republican candidate for president that's only 22 years old, I don't know whether I want to draw too much conclusion from that. Obviously, I'm glad that Trump survived. I'm happy that he's able to continue running for president. I hope he gets elected president. So I don't know whether it does much there, except it just shakes things up and makes you worry a little bit about the safety of our candidates.
Well, and there's just so many questions about how it happened and how it was, you know, quote unquote, allowed to happen up there in Butler, Pennsylvania. What do we need to know about what happened there that we haven't learned yet?
Well, people can go to my Twitter and my Instagram and things like that and get video that I've gotten from local police that would indicate that proper actions hadn't been taken by the Secret Service working with the local department. In fact, I think it just came out this weekend that the local police and law enforcement people weren't contacted by the Secret Service prior to it. And that lack of communication is very dangerous for anybody running for president of the United States that has Secret Service protection. But I would advise people to go to grassley.senate. I'm giving you my email. I want you to go to at Senator Chuck Grassley, my ex account, and you'll see all of these videos on there.
Okay. All right. Well, we will be sure to check it out. President Biden changed his mind. He is not running for re-election, turned over the campaign to Vice President Harris, and Harris seems to be gaining some momentum. Start with your thoughts on Biden exiting the race.
Well, I think it's understandable now what we know about his health situation. For 3 years has been covered up by people in the White House, by the media not doing their job of investigation, and if they knew it, not reporting it, and even the vice president up until almost his leaving the race for re-election to the presidency. The vice president, now the Democratic candidate for president of the United States, seemed to be leading 330 Americans to know that Biden was up to the job. And now we know all of that was cover up. And it's a sad situation that power is so wanted in Washington, D.C., that you'll do anything to stay in power.
Yeah, it is amazing to me. And she's made an incredible move to the top of the ticket and seems to be gaining momentum, had a heck of a fundraising week. And it looks like the Republicans had better not underestimate the potential for Vice President Harris to compete and campaign, correct?
Absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
They got great enthusiasm.
Yes. Yes. The Palestinian protests last week in Washington, D.C., my gosh, what are your thoughts there?
Well, burning the flag,
yeah.
Oddly enough, I hate to tell you, because of a constitutional amendment, Supreme Court decision maybe 30 years ago that burning the flag was protected by the free speech amendment of the First Amendment. And I don't agree with that, and I have voted for overturn that Supreme Court decision, but we've never been lucky enough to get it done. But I wonder if taking a flag down from federal property to burn it shouldn't be prosecuted. Yep. And obviously messing with all these statutes here that are federal property ought to be prosecuted. And if you're prosecuting the people that broke into the Capitol building on January 6th, and you can't, and that's violation of law, so you have to be prosecuted. If they're prosecuted, these other people should be prosecuted as well.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. After some recent comments in Michigan, some are concerned about candidate Trump's stand on biofuels. Should the ethanol industry be concerned about another Trump administration?
I think you have to be concerned about whether you have a Republican or Democrat administration about biofuels generally. They're burned in an internal combustion engine. So the Democrats want everybody to be electric vehicle. And then on the Republican side, you got people that think you ought to just burn fossil fuels in internal combustion engines. So you got opposition there from biofuels. So whether you have a Republican or Democrat administration, it's a fight to keep biofuels prominent as it should be, because it's good for farming, and it's good for good jobs in rural America. Yeah. It's good for the environment because it's cleaner burning than fossil fuels. It's good for national defense. Everything about biofuels is good, good, good. You can't find any fault with it. But oil industry doesn't like it. The liberals don't like internal combustion engines. They want electric cars. So you're fighting it wherever it is. Just look, after 4 years of the Democrat administration, we still don't have RVOs for biodiesel. Mm-hmm. So we had to close down the plant in Walston and one in Wisconsin, maybe more have to close down. It's just not right, and that hurts the price of soybean. Just look, yes. Soybeans are just a little over $9 now. Whoever thought soybeans would get down to that level? So that's a Democrat administration. Then you bring up something that Trump says. I think those of us from the Midwest that support biofuels, we have a fight whether we have a Republican or Democrat president. But I'd rather have a Republican president, because I get invited to the White House to defend biofuels, and I never get invited to the Democrat White House to do it. And
gotcha.
Then you got to think about the next generation of biofuels, which is sustainable aviation fuels. Yep. Soybeans and corn can create a lot of that. We got to fight that battle. And it doesn't matter whether we have a Republican or Democrat president. That's going to be a fight.
But it looks like there's a great bipartisan effort happening right now to get the Treasury Department to speed things up a bit and get the rules and regs for the 45Z tax credits out there. That you're part of that.
Yeah. The only thing is we shouldn't be supporting import feedstocks. Yeah. And this tax credit that's in the law is oriented more heavily towards used cooking oil coming from China. And if it's used cooking oil, that's one thing. But who knows what they mixed just regular unused, uncooked mm-hmm. palm oil mixed in with it. And that's got a bigger carbon footprint than even petroleum has. So we got a lot of fights going on with the next generation of sustainable aviation yeah. fuel. But one yeah. thing, we shouldn't be supporting imports more than we support our domestic corn and soybeans.
Excellent. Senator Grassley, we're glad that you're on our side when it comes to the biofuels. There's no better champion out there for us. Thank you.
God bless you. Goodbye.
All righty now. That is Senator Chuck Grassley, U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa. Machinery Pete is next.
Small insects can become monster problems in post-harvest stored grains. Protect your grains with Gravista D insecticide, the ideal on-farm solution that combines an adulticide, synergist, and an insect growth regulator. Apply as grain is loaded into storage to control these bugs and help reduce shrink and insect damage kernels by up to 18%. Protect your grain from monster bug problems with Gravista D insecticide from Central Life Sciences. Visit bugfreegrains.com to learn more.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Milk markets are mostly higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. August milk up 2 to 2038, September up 5 to 2145, October down 2 to 2122, November up 9 to 2056. Meanwhile, cattle markets, live and feeder cattle markets moving mostly lower in the live cattle markets. The trade waiting for better fundamental news before advancing the markets. Feeder cattle moving mostly lower due to the weakness in the live cattle market. Hog markets mostly lower as African swine fever has been found in two more pig herds in Germany, and that has a big sell-off underway. August live cattle down 80 cents to 187.77. August feeder cattle down 275 to 256.95. August hogs down 215 to 91.32. Chicago Board of Trade. Corn markets higher after a positive export inspections report of 1.059 million metric tons. Soybeans moving lower. The export inspections report was soft. Also, the extended forecast does have warm weather in it, but beneficial rains in the eastern half of the soybean belt. Less stress for the soybean crop if that forecast holds. Wheat markets moving up mostly higher as export inspections improved to 431,000 metric tons. New crop corn up 1 to 411. New crop beans down 14 and a quarter to 1034 and a quarter. September wheat in Chicago up 8 to 531 and a half. Minneapolis wheat September up 3 to 591 and a half.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Machine repeat here, folks. This segment of AgriTalk brought to you by our friends at Dakota Ag Innovations, makers of Dakota Shine, the best way I've seen to fix faded paint. Go to dakotashine.com or call 888-996-7801.
Welcome back to AgriTalk on this Monday morning. Glad that you're with us. You know, it's Monday morning, but Greg is not available this morning. So we had a conversation late last week about some of the things that are happening, and Greg joins us right now. Buddy, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing well, Chip. Always a pleasure to catch up with you. And, lots happening out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Crazy busy week last week. What have you got for pick of the week? Start us off.
Yeah, pick of the week, a lot of late model equipment starting to flow on the auctions. Dealers really cranking up the inventory they're putting out. But last Wednesday, on an online auction by our good friends at Big Iron, their weekly Wednesday sale, there was a farmer out of Kansas put his retirement line on the sale out of Harper, Kansas. Okay. I guess off the top of my head, I can't tell you where Harper is in Kansas. I should know that. But anyway, beautiful combine. The guy had, or two brothers, I think, had a 2013 Case IH 9230, so a little bit larger. harvester there. 1,386 engine hours, very sharp. Went for 193.5, which the Big Iron rep, I know all those folks are good people, and they called me up and he said, Pete, whoa, look at this. And 193.5 did seem strong, and I actually looked in our website, machinerypete.com, and that's the highest hard cash auction price on a 9230 combine in over 3 years since March of 21. Really? And I guess what I found interesting about it, Chip, a couple things. One is the model year. It's a 13, so it's not pre-def, you know, 2011 and prior. We've talked about it now and again. Generally, all used equipment obviously has softened here in 2024. But what this gets at is even in a market that's softening, the underlying truth is what I've always called machinery Pete the limbo bar, the 10-year-old rule. So basically, the difference between the cost of new and a good condition 10-year-old whatever combine, tractor, plant or whatever is has always been so stark, and frankly is becoming more stark as the new stuff goes nosebleed, that it tends to make that good 10-year-old-ish stuff really, really valuable. Now, a couple years ago when I'd have this discussion with people, they'd be like, oh, well, that's only because it's pre-def. And I said, respectfully, folks, just wait a year, two, 3 years. And this is a perfect example. It's a 13 model. But it's 11 years old, and there's a reason it got that premium, because your listeners, farmers around the country, when they do everything they can to take great care of their equipment, the data that I've been compiling for 34 and a half years, you know, just screams the truth that when you take care of it like that and it has a little age on it, that's what everybody wants. So 193.5, it can seem surprising, like, wow, things, times are tight, and they are, but I guess that's just, you know, particularly for you young listeners out there, as you set sail in your farming career and there's decades of ups and downs ahead. One, talk to your grandpa or grandma or uncle if you can, and your folks. Get in their head about the ups and downs, how they manage. But when it comes to equipment values, again, these underlying truths, I think are important to hang your head on. So I just thought that was interesting.
You know, Greg, go back to when you and I first started having conversations here on AgriTalk, we always talked about the always shedded comment.
Yep.
That's what you're getting to, that older equipment that's in great shape. It has an elevated value in the buyer's eye, not the seller's eye, in the buyer's eye. And that obviously is what's important.
And also here, I do need to shout out our friends at Big Iron. When you go to their website and you looked at that combine, or frankly, any of the 2,000 plus items on their weekly Wednesday sale, one, number of pictures. I mean, you know, you're talking about 80, 90, 100 pictures, which is a lot of work, but they consistently do that. And video clips. They were kind of one of the first ones that began putting video clips of items on the listing. Now, and I teased the owners, Mark and Ron Stock, who I've been friends with for 30 plus years. They've been really supportive of my little crazy machinery Pete business all these years. But I tell Mark and Ron, I say, and I've been telling this, we've talked about it for like 5 years plus, is like the one missing element that we'll get to across the auction industry is I really want to see a video of that combine. Yep. It's cool to hear it start and roll back and forth, but I really want to see that owner, those two brothers standing next to it.
Right.
And just, hey, Bob, tell me about your combine. Now, that gets into what we've done for Machinery Pete TV. And you, I mean, there's nobody in the world that knows their listeners more than you do, Chip. You know farmers. So when you talk to them, initially they are like, oh, gosh, you know, I'm not comfortable talking about my tractor. And that's actually a beautiful thing, because they're just being who they are. They're not your listeners, my audience. They're not soapbox people. They're just they're salt of the earth. But what we do with TV, I'll be like, hey, don't worry about the cameras. I don't know anything about this TV crap on YouTube. Just tell me about your combine, Bob. And then I swear it's an unbelievable thing. It's literally like I have a key and I just put it in the guy's heart and you turn it. And this would be a, you know, I don't know how old the brothers were there in Harper, Kansas, however old they were, my age, 58 or up or whatever. But then the defenses go down and they just tell you. And they'll tell you what's wrong with it. Oh, well, it has this or that. I could never figure that out. And all of those things, when you share that up front beforehand with potential buyers, and now you've got buyers, it's not like the old days where, you know, six counties or whatever. I mean, there's no walls now. Right. So that's I'm excited for the future to see how auction industry, and really not just the auction industry, even dealers now who are struggling with excess inventory. And I don't mean to be disrespectful when I talk to dealers. My dad was a third generation dealer, but I just kind of suggest, you know, with your manpower, what I would do, and easy for me to say, my butt's not on the line for these $1 million used inventory, but I would send a young person on your staff out to just with armed with a cell phone, which takes amazing video. And I would just interview your top 20 farmer customers about the items they're trading in.
Yeah.
Because right now there's a ton of John Deere S790 combines on the market, and dealers are taking them to auction. They're losing a lot of money.
Yep.
So if you can personalize, if you can make your S90, whether it's auction, private, or dealer, stick out, what I'm saying is our data shows it's worth more money. So to not do it is just stupid.
Right. It's ground truthing. You're getting it straight from the guy that used it. And if you can believe what they're saying, which you can, it's got value to it.
Now the auction companies or dealers, and again, when you do this, you have to approach it from a point of honesty, like you say. If you're caught blowing smoke, like this thing is the best thing since sliced bread, I mean, that news of that travels, and listeners know that.
Yeah, make a mistake once, okay. Make it twice, it's turning into a pattern. Three times, you're out.
If it's a lemon, call it a lemon. And
that's right.
Because there you're building trust. Now, here's the other fascinating thing to me is even though farmers, and thank you so much, everyone out there, for all your help all these years with our TV show and videos. When I come around to interview and listen for like that 1 hour interview on the Mini Mow tractors, August 16th in Rock Valley, Iowa, it's a function of honoring that person. You know, hey, Bob, tell me about your combine. They wouldn't tell you initially, but then when it gets shared out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and people see Bob standing by his combine, like, oh, that was cool. We love Bob. He's on church council with us. His son played basketball with my kid. It's personal. And I think my 34 years tell me that farmers like that. Yep. And so it's just powerful business. So there's opportunities. But again, Big Iron does a great job with that. So hats off to them.
Yeah, exactly. Good stuff. Good counsel. Good perspective on what the market is, Greg. Important stuff. Important stuff here, real quick, is the dealers are bringing a lot of product to market right now in these auctions.
Right. Yeah, we saw a lot last week, and actually, as we're recording this, I'm on my way to Missouri. As listeners are hearing this, there was, of course, a big sale Saturday in Paris, Missouri, by Wheeler Auctions and Real Estate. So, I think in my 34 years, it might be the largest sale with the most late model large equipment that I've ever seen. And how many auctions have I seen in 3.5 decades? I mean, so if folks, listeners out there, go to machinerypete.com. We'll be jamming in the auction prices. I'll have some video out on YouTube and social media, and we'll have our TV cameras there to film it for the TV show. So, that'll be a big test. And then going forward, just a lot more equipment coming out. So we'll keep tracking things and see how it's falling.
Okay. Last week, Greg, the House Ag Committee had a hearing on the financial condition of agriculture, of farming. And the reason that they did it is because we're looking at something between a 25 and 30% drop in net farm revenue. You look at what's happening at Deere & Company with the layoffs. What we've been talking about on AgriTalk and what you've been documenting at Machinery Pete is happening. The slowdown is happening, isn't it?
I'll give you this. If you look at the average auction price this year on a John Deere 9620 RX, it's $332,236. That's down 22.1%. So that's exactly what you're talking about. We saw it first with combines were the first canary in the coal mine last year. Now it's late model tractors. So that's what it is.
You got it. Greg, thank you for making time. Be safe in your travels, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds great, my friend.
All right. Thank you so much. That is Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. He's on the road, and but we are still bringing the perspectives. As we talked about, some huge auctions happening right now. It's a test of the market, and Greg will keep you up to speed. Go to machinerypeak.com for the details. Davis and I will be right back to wrap up today's AgriTalk.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards that zero-turn lawnmower you've always wanted. And after using its edge-shaping technology to meticulously sculpt the face of the Mona Lisa into your grass, you'll become the undisputed king of Saturday morning lawn care, leaving your neighbor and sworn enemy Gary to question his place in the delicate neighborhood ecosystem. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states.
At Lowe's, save big every day. Right now, get a free pneumatic nailer when you buy a pallet of Metabo HPT nails. And there's more. Save 10% on select shingles when you buy in bulk. Visit us in-store or online for low prices on the materials you need. Because Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details.
Farmers are watching rates and looking for their best financing options. Here to talk with us about that is FBN Finance Sales Director for FBN, TJ Wilson. TJ, share what the current market looks like to you and how FBN Finance can help farmers with their land financing.
Absolutely, yeah. Rates continue to be volatile here over the last few weeks with the recent Fed decision and them hinting that rates are going to go lower, but maybe not in the near term. Farmers can definitely keep that in mind, and we're happy to be here to help them look at what the best financing option is for them overall on their land.
Outstanding. How does someone decide which loan term is going to be best for them for their situation?
Yeah, every operation is different. Here at FBN Finance, we're really focused on the family farmers, and we try to take a unique approach to each farmer's operation. Our team has an average tenure of over 15 years of ag finance experience, and we really try to lean on that expertise to figure out the best financing solution to them. The team works to understand their operation and really provide them the best loan tools for them. And we're here to partner with them and for them through their journey. FBN Finance has committed over $2 billion in funds over the last 4.5 years to farmers.
You know, experience is something that we need to lean on when we're getting into this. How can someone get in contact with the experience on your team?
Yeah, we try to provide a simple online application so you can really get the financing based on your time. You can get that started by going to fbn.com/agritalk or call one of our lenders directly at 833-FBN-LEND. That's L-E-N-D. Right now, our AgriTalk listeners can fill out a form and speak to one of our loan advisors or call directly and mention AgriTalk, and you're eligible to save $500 on your closing costs on a land loan, $250,000 or more.
Fantastic, TJ. Thank you so much. That is TJ Wilson, Director of Finance Sales at FBN.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad you're with us on this Monday morning. Interesting conversation with Greg Peterson about the older equipment and how it gets to that magic time and 10 years old, relatively low hours. If it's been well taken care of, boom. New record price. It's pretty amazing. And then over the weekend, okay, so I had that conversation. Like I said, I had that conversation with them late last week. Over the weekend, I'm kind of paying attention and trying to figure out, okay, what is it really happening? Not only is it happening with when a piece of machinery comes to the market with that description, people are actively looking for equipment that fits that description. 10 years old, relatively low hours, well taken care of. And it doesn't matter on the pre-def. If it's post-def, they're willing to buy it as long as it's got that relatively low hours or average hours and has been well taken care of. That is a sought after piece of equipment out there right now. There's no question about it. People are actively seeking out that equipment. So if you've got it and maybe thinking about, well, you know, in the next couple of years, I'm going to be looking at moving that, maybe evaluate just how much you needed it, because right now might be a heck of a good time to move that, that piece of equipment out onto the market. Also, interesting conversation with Senator Grassley. I think Senator scolded me. Did you hear it? So he goes through the whole thing. He says, listen, biofuels are unbelievably important to the grain markets. We've got corn that's been under pressure. We've got soybeans that are trying to avoid a $9 handle. We've got Democrats in the White House with their biofuels policies in place and their demands for electric cars. And I'm asking questions about the Republican candidate and their stand on biofuels. Well, you know, I think we have to. I think we need to understand exactly what we are getting into. And the Trump round one was, it felt like a constant battle. Not only with E15 availability, but with the small refineries and their exemptions. And now we've got a court that has basically come out and said, listen, the blanket ban on exemptions for the small refineries that was implemented by the Biden administration and Administrator Regan, you guys can't do it that way. It's got to be on an individual case-by-case basis that the small refinery exemptions are considered. So we'll see how that continues to progress and where that leads us on some of this biofuel policy. But it is an interesting mix of things that are happening right now. Some time to spend with family and friends over the weekend. Met a very nice man. Hi, Tom. Met a very nice man out on a sandbar on the Mississippi River. and had an interesting conversation. Didn't really get too much into the politics or anything, but it was good to talk with Tom. And I did get into some political conversations over the weekend. Number one, it's astonishing. It's eye-opening. It's just the time that we are living through right now. As I said on Friday, they are historic times. This is stuff that needs to be in history books going forward, so that it is a reminder, so that we don't repeat some of the mistakes that are maybe being made. And when I talk about mistakes in the assassination attempt, it was mistakes on the Secret Service's part. That should have never happened. And I know, for a guy on the radio to sit out here and say, hey, that should have never happened, it's easier said than done. I understand that. But all of my friends and family that I talk to about it, both sides of the political spectrums, are in agreement that what happened in Butler County, Pennsylvania, should have never happened. So let's get some answers and figure it out why, and study it and understand how and why it happened, and take the steps so that it never, ever happens again. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Did a little bit of wondering about where we would be if things turned out differently in Butler County than where they are today. The chaos that would have been created. And what the GOP would find themselves trying to do, and the answers that it would be scrambling for right now going into the elections would be working on tearing the country apart is what it would be doing. That's the bottom line. So if we are going to look at what, as Senator Grassley said, the actions by a single 22-year-old man in that assassination attempt, yes, we have to take that into consideration, and we have to understand that the context around that. But I think it is also a valuable exercise to at least consider how things might have been different and where we would be right now and what would be happening. So let's keep that all in mind as we watch this process unfold before us, and we look at the momentum that Vice President Harris has built and the fundraising that she did in a really short period of time. It's as I said to Senator Grassley, if you're in the GOP and part of the campaign, do not underestimate what might happen from here. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. Dave Chatterton from Strategic Farm Marketing. Davis will be back with us tomorrow morning, and we've got U.S. Congressman Sam Graves and Farm Journal's Chris Bennett.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it, with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's called
common knowledge that after age 30, our metabolism changes. We have less energy and gain weight easier. There's a way to feel better, not in years or months, but sometimes in just days.
I'm Chuck Norris. I tried everything. Working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick. Morning Kick is a revolutionary new formula that